This Night Begins, Season 5, Episode 6. Guruji stood solemnly at the edge of the churning ocean, a small urn clasped tightly in his weathered hands. Loss had silenced his mind as he prepared to bid farewell to Ritu. He felt numb within and immune to the chill in the air. The salty wind failed to sting his stoic eyes. He scattered her ashes into the restless waves, watching as they mingled with the sea. No words were said. He didn't shed tears as the remains of his beloved was carried away by the currents. He stood alone on that long stretch of beach, his steely gaze on the waters for what seemed like ages. Then something shifted. Suddenly, he was fighting a tide of traumatic memories that welled up in his mind. The morning had reached its end. Only the horrendous haunting images of Ritu's final resting state lingered, etched into the memory like scars upon the soul. All that blood, all the gaping wounds, emotions roared back into Guruji's veins. Dropped the urn and clenched his fists. His solitude was soon interrupted by the approach of unfamiliar figures along the sandy shore. His gaze swept over them in an attempt to gauge their hidden motives. He remained composed as the posse drew nearer, prepared to face whatever fate had in store for him on this desolate stretch of beach. Naz sat alone at the dimly lit bar, nursing a glass of whiskey in a futile attempt to drown out her despair. The bar around her buzzed with laughter and conversation and the blaring sounds from a television. But she remained isolated in her misery. Her mind was a whirlwind of regret and self-recrimination, replaying every moment of the failed mission that led to Ritu's tragic demise. The weight of guilt pressed down on her shoulders like a leaden cloak. The unregistered doctor had done an impressive job treating her bullet wound, and it had healed well. However, a persistent throb radiated from the injury, spreading a dull ache throughout her body. Taking refuge from hired killers while recuperating in a nondescript border town for several months was not her typical style. Then again, she found herself uncertain of what exactly defined her style these days. The utterance of the word Indraprastha drew her senses to the wall-mounted screen, which showcased the big font, garish spectacle of a breaking news broadcast. The central government had taken action, dispatching federal police forces to Indraprastha City to quell the unrest caused by the escalating cartel activities and the murder of law enforcement officials.
"Too late to the party, guys," Naz scoffed.
Suddenly, her peripheral vision sensed a familiar figure's movement at the bar. With a swift turn, she searched the surroundings, but found no one of interest.
"I am starting to hallucinate," she said in disgust.
Turning her focus to the amber liquid in her glass, she lifted it slowly to her lips.
"No shakes now, eh?"
she murmured, observing the steady ascent of her hand.
"I hope you don't return when I place my gun barrel in my mouth in a few days' time," she said.
Downing the fiery drink in one swift motion, she slammed the glass on the bar table and made her way out of the establishment. She scanned the crowd for anyone who might offer a bloody favor by ending her misery. But as she glanced around, she saw that everyone was resigned to their own grim fates, their expressions mirroring her own sense of despair and resignation.
"These fuckers will do a half-assed job anyways. Better to seal my fate with my own hands," she mused.
As she walked out of the door, someone dropped coins into the jukebox and a somber song began to play. Its melancholic melody echoed her mood as she stepped out into the night.
"This is a perfect place," Naz thought,
as she gazed at the expanse of the ocean from the clifftop. She let her mind drift back to the moments she had shared with Jisleen, the love of her life. They had found solace in each other's arms, and their bond was forged in the fires of adversity. Then, Jisleen was wrenched away by the cruel hands of fate. Here, during her final moments on this earth, Naz felt the weight of her absence more acutely than ever. She avoided any thoughts of her teacher and mentor, Virad Nariman. What would he say if he saw her committing this act of cowardice? Her hands and mind were no longer steady enough for this line of work. This was the closest she would come to atoning for her failures. Failures that had robbed Guruji of his beloved wife. Failures that had tainted the legacy of Virat Nariman.
"I am coming to you, darling," Naz uttered as she remembered her final embrace with Jisleen.
The wind picked up, rustling the nearby foliage. She placed the handgun in her mouth. "You're getting sloppy. It wasn't hard to track you down," a familiar voice said. She placed the gun back in the holster and turned to see Guruji behind her, his expression a blend of compassion and mirth.
"It was you at the bar last night?" she asked.
Guruji nodded. "Guilty, as charged."
"Have you come to give me another scolding? If you wait for a few moments, you can even spit on my dead body," Naz said.
Guruji smiled sadly. "I have come to apologize," he said.
"What for?" she asked.
Guruji's eyes scanned the blue waters in the distance. Ruthu was now part of that expanse, and he sought her in it every time he had a chance to be close to the sea. "It wasn't your fault. There is nothing you could have done to stop it. I shouldn't have. I was heartbroken, angry," he said.
"Okay, now that you have apologized, can you leave me in peace to die?" Naz begged.
"I have come to the best assassin in the world with an urgent job," Guruji said.
"A contract? For me? Nah. I could do if it's a chicken, but anything else?" Naz chuckled.
"Then you're perfect for the job," he said.
Guruji turned around and said,
"Gentlemen." Two men she didn't recognize emerged from behind a tree. "This is David and his right-hand man, Anthony," Guruji said. "The last few making a stand for the D'Souza family against the cartel in Goa." Naz nodded at them and they returned the gesture. "They want our help to bring down the cartel," Guruji said.
"Our?"
Naz inquired. "I can't do this without you," Guruji said.
"I don't want to fail you again," she said.
"You won't, because you never have. I don't think your hands will shake one bit when you kill Abhinav Pandey for me," Guruji said. Naz's eyes widened in surprise. "These gentlemen have provided me with Abhinav's location as a sweetener. While you carry out the mission, I will track down the cartel's hideaway in Goa. They've gone underground because of the heat from the central government. But I will find them," he said. "And I will wait for you to join me
so we can take them down together. And my men and I will back you up.
David D'Souza said,
we will have our vengeance.
Anthony smiled at this statement, the bloodlust in his eyes intensifying. Naz knew a stone-cold killer when she saw one.
He will come in handy for the final charge, she thought.
So tell me,
Gurji said, does that chambered bullet in your gun belong in your skull or Abhinav's?